I'm Dina Del Bucchia.
And I'm Daniel Zamparelli.
And this is Can't Lit.
Can't Lit. Talk about books and stuff.
No.
Hey, welcome to episode 36 of Can't Lit.
Hey guys, what's up? It's Dina. Remember 36? Me? Remember me from before, the other podcast? Yeah.
Burping queen.
I Dina didn't Del even. I swallowed it.
Yeah.
That's Daniel. He's talking right now.
Yeah. So episode 36.
36. So cool.
The median age of all the guys I've had sex with.
Yep. That sounds right.
I feel like that's a lie.
What's the one where it's like the most repeated number? Is it the mean? There it is.
No, it's the median.
If you didn't hear it, median.
Whatever.
The median.
Yeah.
That's from our super guest.
Yeah.
Miss you. Anthony Casey. Hi.
Hey.
Thanks for coming.
You can call me by my other name too.
Shantytown.
That's the one.
Stink butt.
Yes. All of those completely valid. Absolutely.
Muffin nuts.
Obviously his real other name is Chandelier, his drag
Chandelier.
Persona.
Yep.
We're also one Prosecco bottle deep recording this, so
it's August. We're in the
throes of August.
Days of summer, the dog days.
Yeah.
Is that how we say? Is that a wolf?
Maybe.
It just reminds me of puppy play.
Dogs.
They're on Facebook and they're like asterisk aroo asterisk because they're excited about things.
See, so it's obviously
logical.
Do you think
also they puppy play on Facebook then? So, like, all of their conversations are just woof.
Have you not seen it happen?
No.
They do. They'll be like, hey, Daniel, I really like that pillow on your couch. Licks and wags.
Oh, my God.
It.
That makes me so happy.
It's so great.
Great news, everyone.
For those who are unfamiliar, puppy play is the when two adults who love each other very much act.
Or don't.
Or don't.
Or have an agreement.
Yeah.
Reenact dog ownership,
master owner.
And there's like definitely some rubber suits that you can buy that have like dog faces. And you know, it's like the one time
leashes. Don't forget
it's the
about
one time
leashes,
though,
Daniel.
Where men or like anyone feels really nice when somebody calls them a dog face.
I don't know. Dogs are cute. I don't know why we're insulted by that. It's not like someone calling you a horse face, which is a legit insult because
that's
they're
true.
Disgusting monsters, yeah. As we all are aware.
Yeah.
And they're secretly probably taking over the world.
Yeah.
Because they're gross. They're up to no good. Oh, my God.
Do you think anyone plays horseplay?
Yeah, I'm sure. Yes, of course people do.
Oh, is that like a fun
riding
like, play on like horseplay?
Oh, no. I was not thinking
yeah.
of that.
I was like, thinking of like riding crops and stuff. That makes that makes logical sense.
I call that dressage.
Oh, yeah. That makes sense.
Like that cool horse dancing to Smooth by Rob Thomas and Santana.
The Olympic horse?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of horses at the Olympics.
I haven't seen any horses. What game do they play?
It's wrestling.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
So
I've been watching a lot of wrestling.
They put on the little singlet thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
you like know, the one that shows their giant dick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're they only actually do wrestling as a sport to show that off.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, we have horse cocks. We should wear the tiny.
Trying to get into
outfit.
Synchronized diving.
Right.
But, you know, it's a whole thing where, like, their dick hits the diving board.
Yeah.
Like that high jumper whose dick hit the pole. And then he lost his gold medal.
I feel like all I know about the Olympics is about the misogyny that's been happening, or stories like that where like some guy's dick knocked the high jump bar off or whatever, and then he didn't win a medal.
Yeah.
Like that ruined his Olympics. Sorry, you've got a dick for the first time ever, a man. Sorry, he has a dick.
Yeah.
Hooray! It's a real
time.
Triumph for the world.
Also, when I was watching wrestling, I went
like WWE?
No.
I was really hoping it would be like professional wrestling.
I agree.
And I could say, tell me all about it.
Yeah, me too.
Maybe.
Olympic wrestling?
Olympic wrestling. And first of all, so hot. Second of all, I went to like Google wrestling, and then all the images, like not out of like irony, were everyone in a 69 position. Like, it was just, like, on the regular, like, team's website, literally everyone in a 69 position.
Question. Does anyone know what any of the actual wrestling moves are called? Maybe that's just the most common one.
Yeah, the one that's 69.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Keep going.
There's the ground and pound.
Yep. Yes. Keep going.
There's the daddy likey.
Yep. What else?
The reach
Anthony,
around.
What else? Yeah, thank you.
There's the,
well, of course, the ancient Grecian hold reach around. Of course. I mean, so you can't forget that.
It's there's very
the
important.
Wheelbarrow where like one guy holds his feet and the other guy walks forward really quickly.
Mm-hmm. There's the steamboat Willie.
Yeah.
Yep.
Favorite. A lot of tugging.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's the Disney princess.
Yep. Where everyone reenacts Disney princesses.
Mm-hmm. He rides them like a magic carpet.
Yeah. Yeah, there's one that, yeah.
There's a variant of that that's called actually just A Whole New World.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, but that's like with three people, right? Because you need a carpet.
Yeah.
My favorite one is where they get trapped in a giant glass bell jar and then they slowly wilt away through magical time.
The Rose?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that one.
The Rose.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Rose.
It's hard to pull off.
Actually, I was so ignorant of wrestling that I thought it was called The Rose because you did it while you were listening to Bette Midler's The Rose.
Oh, right.
But I realize now that was a huge mistake.
I thought it was because you could see their buttholes.
Yeah, yeah, that's kind of the butthole thing.
Yeah. I mean, no, that's why it makes more sense what you guys are saying.
You guys,
so I have a really important question.
Here's the thing.
What's happening?
Who wants to? Who should we?
Who? It's a okay, you guys, fun. Quick, let's Rochambeau to see who's
what's
gonna
the
go
buzz?
First.
Tell me what's happening,
Anthony. Do you want
to? I'll go first.
Okay,
I'll go first.
Want to know? Yep,
you're the summer fun time.
I'm the summer fun time.
You're the all year round fun time.
Well, okay. Today, what's happening is that on my drag Facebook, I put up a thing that said, "Describe me in one photo." All of the photos were either old redheaded women or one of the Golden Girls or a variation.
One of the Golden Girls was Bea Arthur.
One of the Golden Girls was for sure Bea Arthur. There was Mona from Who's the Boss where, that turned me right out.
That's a real, that's a real compliment.
Yeah. Yeah, I also liked Bart the stripper from that weird alternate future of The Simpsons.
That's a great
And he's getting
great
hit
image.
With a bottle.
Mm-hmm.
My favorite was strangely the clown from The Big Comfy Couch.
Mm.
Oh, that made me laugh pretty
hard. That was a surprise.
That was a good and it said something like the caption was like, "Who the hell made this mess?"
Yeah.
I'm like, "Yeah, well, that's what my parents have been asking themselves for years. Who the hell made this mess?" So yeah, that's what's new today, but summertime is busy doing my comedy show. Writing things, secret projects, kissing boys, kissing girls. It's a whole new world. Okay. I wish that we were doing the whole new world, right.
Close enough. We have to keep it professional until after the podcast.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're having a very Carly Rae Jepsen.
There's a lot of emotion.
Would you say that it's more of a I really, 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 really like you summer or more of a call me maybe summer?
Ooh.
Ooh.
Break it down for us.
Oh, I think it was I'd really, really like you to call me Summer.
Oh, all right. That's good. Cree Summer?
Oh, my God. Cree Summer.
Yeah.
A Different World.
Yeah.
Denise Huxtable. Probably one of my first girl crushes and makeup inspirations.
And now she's married to the hottest man in the universe.
Whose dick popped out of his pants a couple months ago.
What? Well, how did I miss this?
She's married to Lenny Kravitz.
No, this is before.
Oh.
Now she is married to, what's his name? Khal Drogo from Game of Thrones.
She is not.
She is. He is 37 years old, and she is however old she is. And they have two beautiful, magical children, and he is a hot man.
He's that big, burly dude, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
She went from a big D to a big, bear.
I don't know. It's highly possible that he also has
a big D. He probably has a big D, but...
Why can't I remember his name? I feel terrible.
Oh, Jason Momoa.
Jason Momoa. Yes. Yes.
That's the one.
I follow him on Instagram. He's always shirtless in a bar in some warm country.
Actually,
drinking. He lives my dreams.
He has the best drag queen eyebrows because they're just triangle tops.
Yes, right. They are.
And they're wild. Oh. They're so good.
Anyway, he's great.
Yeah. Free the hair.
Free the hair.
Free the hair. Yeah. Also, just a shout out to that this is our first family-friendly episode.
Mm. yeah.
Well, it we haven't... Do we say fuck already?
Well, you kind
it's
of
hard
just
to say.
Did.
Maybe.
I don't know.
I don't know if we did. Well, too late.
But you know what? If this was like one of those PG movies, you got that one.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I was allowed to have it.
Yeah.
But don't even
no follow-ups.
Think about showing boobs.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Yeah. I've discovered over the summer that I'm a terrible influence on people. Because everybody has those, you know, desires where they're like, oh, maybe just one more drink. But they usually go home. But if I'm around, they're always like, maybe just one more drink and we'll go to the strip club.
No.
Yeah.
You're good at encouraging people.
I think also
to live their dreams.
At one point on, because we had just been in Victoria getting shit-faced. Sorry,
yes.
Is this your what's happening?
No. I already forgot about that because I've been drunk since we got back from Victoria.
You can have a mix what's happening now. Yeah.
And you can keep going after this, but we went to a small gay bar, Paparazzi, in Victoria,
mm-hmm.
and Anthony at one point put his card down, bought us all drinks already with the card, then yelled at us, my card's, like, I've got my card on tab, just go, just get whatever you want. And, like, just kept yelling that at everyone.
I don't remember doing that, but you know what? My tab was still only $43.
But they were, like, looking at you like, well, I'm a big spender.
Yeah. Yeah.
And everyone thought you were cool.
That was great. Well, you know, if I can't splash out at a tiny gay bar in Victoria, BC, then, you know, where else can I?
It has a good name.
Paparazzi.
I think that was one of the weirdest gay bar nights I've ever been to, and I've been to your hometown of Halifax.
That's true.
And went to their gay bars.
And we've known each other for 5 years.
That's
so true. If that's the weirdest night you and I have had so far, whew!
It was mostly because there were so many straight people being so intense.
Wait, what do you mm-hmm. mean by intense? What were they doing?
They were very involved. I almost went home with a couple. I almost went home with two couples, actually.
I was like, that's a lie.
Magic carpet.
Yeah.
Definitely more than it's one yeah. with like that
so,
question mark.
Yeah, there was like there was one lovely couple of gentlemen that we met at a hot dog place across the street before we went to the gay
Not
bar.
An innuendo.
No.
No, I assumed it was about yeah. hot dogs.
Delicious hot dogs. Yeah. Oh my God, it was so good.
It was so good. And then, well, it plays in later. So, yeah, so the two guys.
Delicious hot dogs?
Yeah. So they were super nice and very attractive, flirting with them and, you know, dancing and, you know, cute bears. And then I was standing at the bar trying to buy lots of shots for no one that wanted to drink them.
Yeah.
And.
Can I interject? What type of shots?
Oh, lots of tequila shots.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then this woman came up next to me and she was very pretty. And so I started chatting her up. And then I got distracted by this tall man who had walked in, and she said, you know, I broke concentration. She's like, oh, what's wrong? And I'm like, there's a really hot guy standing on the dance floor. She said, oh, that's my boyfriend. And I laughed and said, yeah, cool. She said, no, that's really my boyfriend. I'll introduce you. And so she brought him over, and then we were chatting. And then we were going to walk onto the dance floor, and then she grabbed him, and I could hear her say, dance with Anthony. He thinks you're sexy. And then they both attacked me with, like, so I'm like, oh, I guess I'm just going to go home with these people instead. That's totally fine. But then she fell down and started to cry. So I thought.
Yeah. She, well, because. Had you mentioned the part where you gave her your drink because she got cut off?
I was going to gloss right over
that.
Okay. Part. But yeah.
Because she definitely, like, when she, we're being such assholes. When she fell over, she dropped the drink. And I was like, oh, thank God. And then I, like, took the remnants of it and threw it into one of the bins. Like the dish bins.
Yeah.
And then she's like, my drink. And I was like, don't worry about it. It's gone.
But then
it's full of poison.
Well, I was holding a full one and said, here, just take mine.
Yeah.
So.
Everyone made good choices is what you're saying.
Pretty much. I didn't go home with anybody because of the fancy hot dogs that we ate. I just really wanted to fart. And so I'd rather do that in the comfort of my friend's apartment.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
You know what? It's a satisfying experience.
Yeah. Oh, so good.
The other thing about that night was like, okay, so before you guys ordered the next round of shots, I was standing and I just wanted like, I just wanted a beer. And so I was waiting in line with our other friend and this guy pulls up to me and he just like puts his arm around me. He's like, I'm so happy this place is open. I've been kicked out of two bars, 100% straight, this guy. And he was like, this is how many shots we're going to do. One shot, 2-shot, 3-shot. And then he starts, pulling out his money and counting it. Look at me, like, we're gonna do so many shots right now. And I was, he's like, I'm gonna buy you so many shots. And I was like, I don't know. And I was like, I just don't do shots. It doesn't sit well. Like, I already done one, and I was like, I don't want to throw up. And he's like, and he just put his arm around me, like, even tighter. And he's like, come on, man. He's like, you got to do this. And I was like, no. And he just, like, was so mad at me for not accepting his free punishing shots.
Oh, man.
And I just melted away. And I melted away to our friend and then Anthony. And then they were having shots. And I was like, no, you guys. And I had to, like, go stand in the corner by myself in the
dark. You were like, no shots.
Yeah, until everything was surpassed.
Mm-hmm.
Until I got my beer and it was
fine.
No,
I don't want no shots.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I don't want to give you mine.
No.
Mm-mm.
He wasn't going to take it, so it's cool.
Yeah. That's fine.
Shots. He ended up being at the Burger King that we had afterwards, so it's fine.
Wait, did you go to Burger King after that?
Oh, we sure did.
Yeah.
Did you get mozza sticks from Burger King?
No.
No, there was none.
What? This is my new favorite thing about Burger King.
Because I was drunk trying to find something I could eat.
This is my new favorite thing.
And there was nothing there.
I cannot
but
believe...
But I also forgot that Burger King has the veggie burgers, no?
They have veggie burgers?
Yeah.
Man.
And they have mozza sticks now. And
drunk me was just too upset to deal with it.
The deep fried pie you used to be able to get as a kid at McDonald's, and then they started baking them, which is fucking terrible.
They're garbage.
Stop baking your pies. I didn't also come here for non-garbage.
Quote unquote baking them.
Yeah, whatever
like
they're
doing. Putting in that weird steamer.
Exactly. But at Burger King, they still make a deep fried apple pie. And let me tell you right now, you know what it tastes like? Glory. It tastes like...
I will
so
say,
good.
Though, that...
It's delicious.
I looked real hard at their menu, and it might have been one of those situations... Because I know that there are ones that don't carry all the menu items.
Or if it's after, you know, 3 a.m., which is when we were there.
We were... Yeah. I wasn't going to say what time, but...
That's oh, that's, you know, if any of these people follow me on Twitter, they're going to know that I don't sleep.
Everyone listening in any other part of the world, you should know that Victoria is the Vegas of British Columbia. Yeah. So, mm-hmm. I mean, everything's open.
But
people are doing all sorts of crazy
hours.
Stuff all the time. It's wild.
But to add to the, like, it's a Vegas, but it is the most...
It's not Vegas at all. I was kidding. It's
No,
it's
no, like... That.
It's
well,
full,
our night was.
It's full of old.
Oh, our night was.
We brought a little bit of Vegas, yeah. And I've only been there for 36 hours.
And
you best, just went to party.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the best part of that night was at the end of the night where we were talking about, like, we had this conversation about gay bashing, and it was like,
oh my God.
It was super loud. And these two big muscle guys behind us yell out, hey, gay bashing is not okay. And we're like, yeah, we know. And they, like, went on to tell us a story about how they, like, defended these guys because they were getting gay bashed. Like, it was just like, this is the most Victoria thing I have ever seen in my life, where they were yelling at us and then just had to confirm that we were not gay bashers or talking about gay bashing in a negative way.
Yeah,
so nice. Probably the most polite city that I've ever been to.
Those guys were so nice. One of them looked like a Michelin man of muscle.
One of them looked like I just would have spent the rest of my life with him.
Yeah, working on your wrestling moves.
Working on my wrestling move, and yeah, just him lifting me over his head like a barrel of hay, or bale of hay. Oh, a barrel of hay. I'm shaped like a barrel.
Lifting up really high and yelling freedom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or singing Freedom by Beyonce, whichever one you want.
Or singing Freedom by...
George Michael, Freedom 93.
Freedom 93, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you have a lot of options.
That's the one. Well, oh, yeah. I could be the Christie Brinkley.
That's the recipe for true love.
Ugh.
Okay, so then...
Yes.
Mm.
Victoria was great.
Yes.
We had fun.
What else is new?
Did you have anything else that... What's going on for the rest of summer?
For the rest of the summer, I'm writing for my next upcoming sketch show, which is going to be on September...
Studio with Shanda.
Studio with Shanda.
The best thing
XY.
That you can go to.
Yep. Thank you.
I feel like we've mentioned it on the podcast several times.
I heard a shout out one time for sure. I can't remember which episode it was, but you two are definitely like two of my biggest fans, which is nice. It's nice to have a regular crowd, especially with people I've known for a long time. So I'm writing that and then writing more scripts for YouTube videos.
Great.
Which my friend Jake and I make together, and we're working on a big secret project, which I'm just going to tell you what it is.
Is it like is it one of those like, volcano dioramas means. That people enter
yes.
into a science fair?
Yeah. It's
like this is so exciting.
The telltale heart, and then we flip a switch. Yeah, like Simpsons that. Already did it, but I'm going to...
Yeah. You got to go for it.
We want to write a full like half-hour episode of a TV show just so that... You know, we could use it to, like, actually pitch.
Yeah.
But if we don't, it's something cool that we made when we were young and fun and...
Because you're 27.
I was going to fill that.
Yeah, we're all... Everyone here is 27. Everyone here is 27. It's really important
absolutely.
To know that we're all 27.
27 is the most perfect age. You're not quite 30 and insufferable.
Yeah.
But you're not in your, like, early 20s where you think you know everything and you're just a pile of garbage.
But you're just being the worst.
You're just, like... woke garbage at 27.
Yeah, that's the best garbage.
Yeah,
to be.
With like some like disposable income, but not a whole lot.
Because you spend it.
Because you spend it all
enough
the time.
Enough to be really conscious of how you're spending it.
Yeah, enough to like, you look at wine and you think, I could buy that $12 bottle, but I'm going to spend $18 tonight.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, but then I'm also going to buy that $12 too because it's for
you
got to
have that for later.
Yeah. Yeah,
stock up.
If you're going to buy drugs, you got to pick one or the other.
Yeah.
This
is our family friendly episode.
Yep. Please bring your 3-year-olds in. Put a little earbud in their ear right now. Let them listen.
Our 3-year-olds would love Studio with Shanda.
Yeah.
They definitely would love
There's
it.
A lot of large movements.
Yeah.
There's
lots of colors.
Lots of colors.
There's dancing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they'd be into it.
Yeah.
Since I co-opted your Victoria story, which is our Victoria story, I'll continue on with what's happening. And
great news.
I'll continue on of being a mess and a shit show.
Yeah.
But New York edition. So I went to go see... Gabe in New York, and it was everything I had imagined, because I hadn't been there since I was 21, and it's everything I imagined it had become in the 10 years of not being there. I mean, 6 years of not being there. And
good math.
Yeah.
I know. Math is hard.
Math's hard for 27-year-olds. And it's somehow they found a new way to make the garbage pile higher. So that was like a cool thing, skyscraper garbage.
Were there rat kings living in it?
I only saw two rats.
What, did any of them have pizza?
No, and none of them had crowns on them.
Disgusting.
Oh. Yeah.
How did they even live there?
Yeah. And
they're pizzaless, crownless rats.
Yeah, it was so
dead.
Gross. And then it was really, really fun. I went to his comedy show night, and that made me super happy. Because I got to see John Early perform.
That's so awesome.
I love John Early.
I know. I'm super, super jealous.
Oh. Yeah. He, if you haven't seen his characters
his
episode
of
on
the
Netflix.
His is just beyond. It's so good.
Just watch that.
It's so, so, so
And
good.
He just like was, yeah, he was as funny as I expected him to be. We also had, I guess also we haven't talked about this on the podcast, but we had our Philly engagement party. So we had, his family lives in Philly and they had an engagement party for us, and they like full on wanted to give me shout outs for all the things I liked. So they had like an Italian caterer and like a big chocolatey cake that said two grooms are better than one. And we also, the only booze available for the party was 3 cases of Prosecco. And I was like, man, you guys are being the best. And then somebody gave me a gift, and they were like, this is specifically for you. And it was a book for...
I'm preemptively laughing.
Yeah.
This is terrible.
Somebody had given her this book when she was getting married, and she's like, this is specifically for you. And I opened it, and it was a book for... Catholic housewives running a Jewish household.
Oh, yeah.
And like all the to-dos. That's and
so
it
great.
Was so great.
It's really
cool. I cried laughing so hard, and also at the fact that somebody gave that to her honestly, because it was like she was older than 27 is what I'll say.
What's the number one rule that you took from that, though?
I haven't read it yet.
I want you to read that, because as a Catholic boy who grew up in a Jewish neighborhood in Boston, I need to
know.
Yeah,
you need that information.
I need to know.
Yeah. Yeah, I skimmed through it, but I need to like sit down and read it. Parker Posey.
Oh yeah.
Told me where to go, like in a nice way, not in a bad way. Just I know. Via the elevator.
It's still cool, but it's not as cool as if she
did. Really hoping. I have a
She was like, "It's just the party's upstairs." And I was like, "Oh my, great."
I have a short side story for celebrities. In Halifax, there's a lot of filming that goes on with like, you know, sci-fi series or whatever. So one time, Neve Campbell was in town, and a mutual friend that I have, she was working at this restaurant, and so she was, you know, serving Neve Campbell's table all night. She's like, "Oh my God, what do I do? What do I say? I love Party of Five." And all of her coworkers said, "Just say hi and like see how it plays out." She's like, "Okay." So she like worked up all her courage near the end of the night. She said, "Hi, Neve." I'm going to make up her own name. She's like, "Hi, Neve. My name's Ashley. I just want to tell you I'm a big fan." And Neve Campbell, in the middle of like cutting up her lobster or whatever, stares at her with these dead eyes and said, "Hi, Ashley. I don't give a fuck who you are." And went back to her meal.
That is so beautiful.
I'm like, I want Neve Campbell to tell me she doesn't give a fuck who I am.
Yeah, that's really cool.
I'd be so happy.
I just the other day saw a celebrity in the street. I was walking home from the beach with my friends Roxanne and Alana, and we walked by our other friend's home. Two of our friends actually live in the same building, so we were just yelling out portmanteaus of their name, Sherita and Kelly. So we were like, Shirelli, Kalita, and just yelling.
Both sound like characters from Game of Thrones.
Thank you. They kind of are, just as people.
Yeah.
So we're yelling this stuff out, and then we turn around, and Roxanne goes, "We're like, wait, she's like, that guy's an actor." And we weren't looking. We were staring at the apartment building. Huh. And then we look over and Michael Imperioli, Christopher, comes strutting by us, just like walking. He's wearing like a cool chambray shirt and some nice slim pants and like a light colored shirt.
Home.
Gray curly hair. Just looking real cash. And then we keep walking. We keep walking. We round the corner. And the first thing we all do is just start saying Christopher like a bunch of times. And then I called my dad immediately because he'd had kind of a bad day. So I needed to cheer him up. Yeah, I was like, "Oh my God, I just saw Christopher from The Sopranos." And he was like, "What? What?" Henry Del Bucchi is like, "What are you talking about?" Yeah, it really made him happy. But I like that we were being so stupid in the moment. And then
this did it bum you out that he wasn't wearing a tracksuit?
It was very disappointing. Okay. I couldn't even tell if he was wearing a gold chain at all.
Oh. How many buttons did he have done up?
All undone.
All undone?
He had a shirt underneath, kind of like...
That's gross.
Yeah.
No, he must have been in character when you saw him. Because that's not natural.
Yeah, that's not a real thing.
Yeah, he had a shirt. He had a chambray shirt with the sleeves rolled up. Mm-mm. And then like a light colored shirt underneath.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's my story.
Yeah. I like it. Dina, while I pour more wine, why don't you tell us what's happening?
Well, I had a birthday. And the fact that...
You're 27.
I'm 27 and I'm in heaven. My body is just in its prime and everything's great.
It's ready.
It's totally ready. Everything's functional.
27 and it feels like the movie 7.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And I really hope that all of you send me a lot more gifts and just well wishes. I feel like you've been fucking neglectful. And all I do is give you this podcast for free, you little shits. Okay, anyway, so it was my birthday.
She's talking to you, the listener.
I am talking to you, the listener. I'm not talking to Daniel. And
I gave her candy.
Yeah, he gave me a shit ton of candy.
I encouraged him to buy candy.
Oh, where's my rockets?
Oh, yeah, I'll get you rockets.
We'll get some rockets. I need some to live.
Yeah.
So this year for my birthday, instead of being in the city and having a bunch of random parties and fun, weird events, which is what I normally like to do, I escaped to my family's cabin in northeastern Washington State with my friends Roxanne and Jag. And I learned that when I'm at the lake, it is possible for me to be a weird pothead, which I never thought was possible. If anyone actually listens to more than one episode, you will know that I talk about being a paranoid freak, but I was not. I was like, I had some edibles. I smoked a bit of weed. I felt great.
Yeah.
It's legal there. You just walk into the store. It's like going to a nice liquor store. even though we were in a little small town.
But also like the treats are so delightful.
The treats were amazing. The cookies that we had were so good that half the time, well, there were only three, but like I wish that they didn't have pot in them so I just could have eaten more of the actual cookies because they were so good.
Were they soft cookies?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
And they kind of, I don't know. It was almost like, it was a weird mix of, it was all, if you took a chocolate chip cookie and you took a shortbread cookie and kind of fused them together. So it was like a buttery, oh, it was really great. It was
What was the weirdest food item? What was the weirdest edible in that store?
There were some weird candies that weren't chocolate. So there was a ton of different chocolates, like dark chocolate of different types and milk chocolate and mint chocolate, which is what we got. Mm. And then there were just these weird little like candies in a bag. And I was like, remember these candies called Jelly Tots?
Yeah. Oh, love Jelly Tots.
Yeah, those. And I was like, I think they're delicious, but it still seemed weird that like somehow there was weed like in them.
There was
gummy bears. It looked so weird. Yeah. Oh, and the gummy bears. I saw the gummy bears.
And you're like, how? All of them. Also, I will eat all of those. And the Jelly Tots
were so tiny. I feel like you wouldn't be able to just eat one. You'd be like, gom, 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 like shoveling them in your mouth. So now I'm back in Vancouver, another pod haven, and I am not touching the stuff.
It's fine.
I can't do it here.
It's vacation funds.
Yeah. So I wore 5 bikinis in 5 days.
That's really nice.
Thank you. I felt great about it. Yeah.
Quick side note, though. I just want to... request from other weed production people that I would be really into weed Dunkaroos.
Oh, excellent. That sounds great.
Just for future reference. Good point. Doesn't that even have to be the full Dunkaroos, just icing maybe.
Mm-mm. I would like a popsicle. If you can make a summery popsicle, wouldn't that be so great?
I love popsicles so
much. Me too. Yeah.
So much.
They're so good.
Oh, beautiful. Yeah, all so, of it.
Figure that out. Mm-hmm. Maybe there already are some and we're just so not into that we just don't.
Yeah, like the like weed Dunkaroo places, like, fuck you guys.
Yeah. They're like, we've been making weed Dunkaroos for 5 years and nobody even knows about it. People. And each little cookie is a little pot leaf that you scoop. So cute. That's really adorable.
I'm also trying to think of like what the name of that place would be called that served weed Dunkaroos.
Well, we can think about it throughout the episode.
Keep that in mind.
Keep it in mind. And if anyone has any suggestions, just let us know. Mm-hmm. We're very excited to, and if it doesn't exist, maybe this is a new entrepreneurial opportunity.
Yeah.
Potrepreneurial.
Oh.
Start pot. No, that makes no sense. So you had those 5 bikinis for 5 days. Did you do any dress like a books for them?
No. You know what? You know why? I knew that I had made a mistake, but like I kind of picked the books I was going to read and then I picked my swimsuits and whatever and it never really came up. Roxanne actually bought
it. Plus you were so stoned the whole time. What were you going to do?
Oh, I was wasted. I wasn't stoned every day. I couldn't handle that. That was too much of a commitment for my first day, like multi-day foray into drug use because I'm not cool. As everyone knows, I am really uncool. So would have been a bit too much. Yeah. But I do... We can talk about... I got to go on CBC Radio and talk to Candy Perlmutter and talk about Dress Like a Book, which was very exciting for me. And first off, she is so amazing. I love her. Her show is great. And she was so great to be interviewed by. Like, I could not get over how wonderful she was. So everyone, Dress Like a Book, please. Just for my birthday. I already told you to give me a gift. Dress Like a Book. Hashtag it or send it to dresslikeabook@gmail.com. We want you. I want you. Please.
Also, I believe the Candy Show, the Candy Perlmutter, was supposed to just be a summer thing, so it's ending soon.
It is ending soon, but lots of people are trying to get them to keep it going.
Yeah.
But I thought it was so great.
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
I've known about Dress Like a Book for a long time. And then I was on Facebook one day and I saw it pop up under the Candy Show Facebook page. I'm like, oh my God, this is so cool. Because you guys don't know this, but Candy Perlmutter is my aunt.
What? I knew I didn't know you were from the same town.
So, so she's like not like technically my aunt. She said that before. But Candy's sister-in-law is my biological aunt. So Candy's brother married my aunt, and So I've known Candy since I was like a kid. I never saw her a whole lot because before she got into radio and everything, she was like a, you know, really like high powered, like Ally McBeal lawyer.
Yeah.
And she was this, you know, like this woman who lived in Halifax and was so cool. And like, you know, she's out and she's married to her partner, Denise. And, you know, I think me and Candy really are like the only like really out people in our family, which is like crazy to think about.
That is.
And then she had a comedy show. Mm-hmm. And then I was still living in Halifax when they were, you know, getting married, and I couldn't make it to the wedding because I was actually like in a show that night. Like, I was doing like a theater production, and she was like, oh, she's like, girl, go ahead, do that. And so I know she's like super busy. I like recently emailed her and was like, oh my God, you know, like it was in June. I was like, oh my God, Pride Month, so cool. And so, yeah, I'm like, I really hope that CBC keeps her show because she's amazing. And like, you know, like as a, you know,
yes.
Yeah, she's just like, she's just so cool. She's so cool and so funny. And I obviously have a little bias.
She's funny. She's smart. She's great at interviewing people.
Yes.
She's
very warm.
Giving as an interviewer. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't fucking get rid of that shit.
No. Mm-hmm.
I know that CBC is definitely listening to Can't Let on the reg. So they obviously are paying attention to what we're doing right now.
Also, like, because they're getting rid of Shad.
I know.
Changing it for something Power. I assume Austin Powers.
Yeah. No, Austin Powers is taking over.
Mm-hmm. About time.
It's like, don't take away her show. Like, that's fine that it was a summer thing, but also just keep it going.
Or just let her develop some other show. Yeah. I mean, that's the same thing, too. I feel like the problem, I'm sure other people have said this before, but like, why did they ask Shad to take over Cute? Like, why not say, hey, Shad, do you want to develop a different show?
Or do you want to take over this really problematic show now?
Garbage. Yeah, like,
it's literally, do you want this dumpster that I've lit on fire?
And then I throw a bunch of garbage in it. Also, there are baby kittens in there. If you can get them out, great. Yeah. If you can't, they're all going to die. There's 400 kittens.
It is our highest rated show.
Yeah.
This dumpster fire with kittens.
Yeah.
That seems like a problem.
This is why we're never going to be asked to.
No, we are going to be asked to host Q in 2020. No, we're not being asked. We're just taking over. Wait, no, we're going to start Can't Q.
Can't Q.
It's our new show.
You remember when CBC in like the, you know, mid to late 90s would have variety shows? Like Rita McNeil from Cape Breton.
Oh, yes.
Where my family lives.
Yeah.
Always, like every Christmas, but she would have like other shows. Yep. And like, that's what Candy was doing on APTN. So like, let her do that for CBC and like put that on like national network. Like,
yes, I agree.
It just totally makes sense. Come back. I'm biased because I, you know, sketch comedy, sketch shows, variety shows.
Plus, Rita McNeil's your aunt.
And Rita McNeil, yes, I had sex with Rita McNeil. Cut that out.
Come on.
Nope.
everyone's going to want to hear that.
No, I'm not going to edit this episode for shit.
Also, RIP, you are an angel.
Yeah. No, that seems fair.
Yeah.
Getting totally Rita McNeil'd. maybe I should edit this.
Getting Rita McReal.
Oh. This is a Rita McSteel of an episode.
Okay, so Dina.
Rita McFeel.
Yeah.
You have a question for me.
Yeah. So you came back from the lake.
Yeah.
And how did you feel?
I felt weird. This is the first time I've felt weird about my age. Like, 27 is really hard, you guys.
27's a hard year.
But I don't know.
As somebody who's done it several times.
I know. I know.
For 4 times now.
Yeah. Weirdly, for a long time was telling people I was 62. So now it feels weird to actually just be my actual age.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I don't know. I just have a weird feeling about it. For the first time. Up until, I feel like this is a good run of not being weird about your birthday and always just being excited about it. And I think part of it is just being a extrovert who likes attention. I'm like, it's my birthday. Everyone look at me. Everyone do stuff.
I mean, well, I was at your like 50th birthday and that was really fun.
The second time was
pretty fun, but this 27th one wasn't.
Would say it was a downer.
Yeah.
It really had a low end. No, but my birthday was great. I swam in a lake. I was, Roxanne bought me this beautiful sprinkled donut shaped floaty thing
that I was in.
It was so amazing. I was spinning around in it like a princess. It was delightful. And I drank a lot of the champagne of beers.
Oh.
It was so good.
Wait, Do we have different definitions?
It's called the champagne.
No,
of
it's a
Michelob Light.
No. It's no. Oh my God, you're both
Miller
wrong.
Light.
Sorry, I'm drunk.
No, it's fine. It's fine.
Coors.
Okay. No, that's a banquet beer.
Man, I love banquet beer.
I know. Coors banquet beer is really, really good.
I drink the like champagne of beer all the time when I go home to second home to L.A.
To L.A., I know.
It's like the fridge is just
Gabe always has it in a bottle.
Yeah.
It's fancy.
Because we are classy.
It's Miller Lite.
I said Miller Lite.
Oh, I thought you said something else. I apologize.
Well, I kept saying Michelob, but then I said Miller because I bought a bucket of it for those 36 hours I was in Vegas once.
Mm. Well, smart move.
Maybe too real bad.
That's great.
Tootie McNeil.
well, someone today, I don't know if anyone's been watching Stranger Things on Netflix, but then there was a Stranger Things generator where it just used the 80s title credits and you could put whatever you wanted in. So naturally, I just typed in I farted.
I saw Fart Fart.
Oh, that's so good.
I enjoyed that one.
But like I farted is just my brand.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's true. Yeah. I put... I use the generator made because everyone was using it, yeah, and I just put no, and then the second line no, and I deleted, and I was like, I don't want to even share this because it's
this is for me.
It's funneling.
Yeah, you keep it to yourself. That's your private business.
That's what I want to shit on people having fun.
No,
I like the generator that. First of all, that TV show is great. Second of all, the generator that Netflix produced that was the. Christmas lights that would light up a message.
Oh yeah, that was the best one.
That made me happy.
Yeah.
And you could it was so good.
Also, I would like love the stats on how many people generated go fuck yourself.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
People are wonderful and predictable. Yeah. And also terrible.
That is what's good about it. Speaking of that, let's talk about your work.
That's a perfect segue.
What a great segue. Just kidding. You are so fun and I think that what you do is really interesting.
I'm really stumbling on this compliment.
Oh, you're talking about me.
Yeah, I'm talking about you. I'm not talking about Daniel.
No, it's hard she would to look never at you, start though. With you are so fun.
Yeah.
Daniel, you're so fun.
She'd be, you are so tired.
You're so tired all the time.
You're so organized and sleepy.
Yeah.
Is that I feel like we've come up with so many good titles for the episode already.
Organized and sleepy.
Yeah. let's talk about the things you do.
All right, let's get into it.
You've got your own show.
Yes.
Name it again, because I'm...
Studio with Shanda.
It's your number one fan. I have to get you to say it.
It's fine.
I feel like I've attended it the most.
I feel like... maybe Lauren? Dina is at
I've been three times.
I've been three times as
so
well.
We've been the same
so you guys have tied, for sure.
I thought I'd been four times, though.
Well, you better check it out. You gotta find out if you have.
It's mostly just when I'm not in town that I don't see it.
Yeah.
Me too.
You were formerly of Brat Pack, which is a crew.
Are you still doing Brat Pack?
No, that's the big news on the drag scene. But no one cares really. Anyway. Well, do you want me to get into it?
Yeah, if you want
get into that after I explain what Brat Pack is to listeners. Just the Brat Pack is a Thursday drag show that it has moved around has it been different days?
It was at the Odyssey on Mondays, and then it went to the Junction on Thursdays.
Right. So it's like a crew of five drag queens?
Well, it was six, and then it was five. Well, I don't know.
Formerly Rita McNeil.
Yeah.
And you have been in a drag performer for a long time. You were also a blogger for TV shows.
Mm-hmm.
Specifically and most famously, Pretty Little Liars.
One of our finest television programs.
Yeah. So good.
I need to ask you a question.
Okay.
Are you up to date?
Oh, girl.
Me too.
Come on. Oh, no, wait. I didn't watch last night.
Oh, I got up this morning and watched it as research in case we needed to talk about it. I got up early, showered, sat down, ate my breakfast. First off, somehow my milk that expires in 2 days was already chunky and I got super devastated because I really set up it was like granola and cereal with like two handfuls of blueberries. I was like, this is going to be so great. Look at my antioxidant living that I'm doing. And then it just came out. It was like glue, glue. And I was like, fuck this fucking fuck shit. Fuck. I was so mad. I was kicking stuff around. Yeah. It's cool. I had yogurt. I had to make a new one, though. I had to make a new one. And then I watched Pretty Little Liars.
Yeah. Oh, the best.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
P-L-Y.
P-L-L.
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 Hashtag PLL theory.
Sorry, I'm like, I have not watched Pretty Little Liars, so I am going
to
be...
That's fine. You don't need to know about it. Yeah. Okay. It makes literally no sense.
No, it's but it's, for that website called youknowyoulovefashion.com, mm-hmm. I have written for, I tallied it the other night, I think it's been 11 TV shows, but 7 of them have been canceled in the...
Oh,
we're
going to go over
years
all that.
That I've been writing for that
website.
We're going
to go over all
I feel
that.
Like that's a good percentage, though.
Yeah, that's very good.
Oh, yeah. I'm on that website. I'm known as the closer because I always pick the... My favorites are always the ones that are like on the edge of being canceled. That's and great. I usually write the last recap for all of them.
That's great news.
Yeah.
And obviously, you're writing tons of different types of things. You're out there. You're making it happen.
I'm trying.
Okay.
No,
quick,
you.
I want to ask.
I mean, keep. Yeah,
what like, are the with, shows that have been canceled? Let's go through them.
Oh, there's going to be so many.
You just list the ones you remember.
The ones I remember. First of all, Pan Am.
Oh, Pan Am.
Pan Am.
I only watched one episode.
Pan Am had so much potential, especially since Agent Carter was recently on TV, and then that got axed. But Pan Am was about a bunch of very sexy flight attendants for Pan Am Airlines in the late 60s, mm-hmm. starring Christina Ricci mm-hmm. as a raccoon-eyed flight attendant who was not afraid to hook up with the men that were on her flight and slap the shit out of them.
Great news.
She Perfect. Was a great feminist character on that show. Also,
how many seasons did that last?
One.
I don't even think it had a whole
That's what
season.
I thought.
Yep. Destroyed that. Revenge.
Oh, I forgot about that show.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
that got
the girl
season,
from
right?
Brothers and Sisters.
Revenge. Yeah. So Revenge had, I think, 5. I was there for the whole run. I did the first episode, and I remember watching the first episode, and it was so campy and over the top. Like,
so you loved it.
Oh, my God. I loved it so much. It was just like Dynasty, but like in Montauk, you know? And like, and I grew up in Boston, so it was like very like, you know, we weren't rich, but we were like rich adjacent because my dad was a musician. So it's like, oh, I've like seen all these people when I've grown up. And anyway, I remember writing in the recap, like, this is everyone's new favorite show. And it like instantly was a hit. So you're welcome, ABC. and then that got canceled. And then the Playboy Club.
Oh, Playboy did not last very long.
Playboy was like, didn't even get a full season.
Did not last very long.
What was that one about?
That was about the Playboy
Club.
Playboy
Bunnies.
Yes, I do remember that one.
But not in LA, in Chicago, where the original Playboy mm-hmm. Club was. Mm-hmm. And Eddie Cibrian from Third Watch mm-hmm. was like the hot guy on there. So he was like trying to make his comeback after breaking up with Leanne Rimes,
yeah.
which was a total nightmare
was
story.
Was it after
in itself.
Coyote Ugly?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, after.
Yeah. Okay,
Ringer. With Sarah Michelle Gellar.
Oh, I'd never watched that.
It was terrible.
It looked too bad. I couldn't do it.
Everyone
terrible.
Wanted her to succeed, and it wasn't going to happen.
No, it was awful. It wasn't Jane the Virgin. It was, I feel like her
great
name was
show.
Jane. Oh, Jane the Virgin's amazing.
Jane yeah. the Virgin's great.
But this other one, it was about this girl who lied to work at a, like, high-powered magazines. So she was in high school, but living this double life.
Oh, I don't remember that one.
And every, like, there would always be lots of running scenes. Because she lived in upstate New York. And this sounds very Sex and the City, but she lived in upstate New York and then would have to go downtown. And she had one, like, sexually ambiguous friend in high school who would drive her because he was, like, kind of in love with her, but she thought he was gay. It was the whole thing. And whenever she would run, she'd do pinwheel arms, which one of my co-writers, L.A., Leslie Ann, but we all call her L.A.
Mm-hmm.
She called it pinwheel arms because she'd run. She'd be like, oh, my God, you guys.
And her arms are just swinging in
They're
the air.
They're just, like, swinging around, like, yeah, fantastic. That was also an awful show. And then there was another one that I just thought of. But, I mean, the list is,
yeah.
frankly, endless.
Okay. Let's yeah. get down to...
Well, let's get to PLL.
Let's get down to A. Let's talk about Pretty Little Liars. So, I mean, this show's been on a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And... when you're writing the recaps, have you been writing them since the beginning, or did you take off?
I jumped
over
in
like
the
a
second season.
Okay,
first season because I was officially on Vampire Diaries. Oh, which I guess is also still happening.
Isn't it canceled?
It's on its way out.
Okay. It wishes it was canceled.
Yeah, it wants to die.
It needs, but it's a vampire.
But it can't die, yeah.
It's everlasting.
It has no reflection and it can't die.
Yeah. Nice.
So it's on Vampire Diaries, and then I really wanted to get off that, and they need extra writers, and so I jumped on Pretty Little Liars like as soon as I could, because it's batshit crazy. And the focus of the website is, like, maybe a couple years ago, and for some people, it's still to talk about the fashion, but I've started actually just, like, doing recaps and, like, commentary, but still talking about the clothes.
There is a lot of clothing being worn on the show.
Clothing is a very, like, powerful, like, totem for these people.
It really is.
It's insane. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So when you watch an episode, do you kind of click onto one thing and let that become the thread for the recap? Or do you just kind of let it flow? How does this happen?
I mean, like, it's just natural now because it's been so long.
Right.
But usually I'll look for something clothing related. So there was one season where everything had pyramid studs.
Oh, I remember that.
Remember? And and if one character was wearing them, the rest of them wouldn't. And they would all kind of, like, everyone would trade off. And I found that every character that wore pyramid studs was, like, the focus or, like, the leader of that episode, which was really, like, probably a little too deep to dive into Pretty Little Liars.
I want to respect the costume people and be like,
yeah.
I feel like they knew. Because they get the scripts.
They definitely do.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. This Pretty Little Liars happening right now. But Empire is another show I think I'm one of the only two people that
recap Empire on it?
I recap Empire.
How did I not know that?
And the
beautiful show.
Beautiful show.
Great show.
The wardrobe choices in Empire are so specific, especially with Cookie.
Yeah.
That, like, one of the costumers on that show, or wardrobe stylists, follows our website account on Instagram and was like, oh my God, like, these recaps are, you know, hilarious. And I'm like, oh, thank you so much. These are mine. I love you so much. All your work is fantastic. Like, it's incredible the pieces that they come up with her. I know Taraji has some influence, and I'm first naming her right now. But,
well, as you can.
Yeah.
You're recapping
the
show.
We all know who Taraji is.
But it's fascinating to see the clothing. And, like it happens in, like, you know, real literature, too. Clothing always plays an important part in how you're going to, like, understand a character or, like, a plot line or, like, foreshadowing. And one thing that I noticed and then was confirmed on Pretty Little Liars is that anytime they wear, if you see them wearing flat shoes, that's an action episode because all of the women do their own stunts and they can't do them in heels.
They're
or like elevated
dirty.
Shoes. Yeah.
When, like, they're doing whatever it is, they're running and they're jumping, or they're, like, in an abandoned factory that has a conveyor belt on it.
What is this show about? Yeah.
We should say what the show's about.
You start and I'll jump in.
Okay.
Yeah, but you guys only get 30 seconds.
Okay. Oh, okay. I can do an elevator pitch.
Okay, you do one, then I'll do one. We'll each get 30.
Perfect.
Okay. Hold on, I'm going to time it.
Let's get the timer.
Everyone take a sip of your wine.
Okay, I'm ready.
This is a good challenge.
I'm going to need my timer anyways for one of our regular segments.
Great news.
Okay. And Anthony, you're going to start, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, you've got 30 seconds and go.
Pretty Little Liars is about five women from a small town in Pennsylvania that all have perfect hair and endless amounts of money, and they've told very small lies in their teenagehood, which have turned into enormous life-shattering circumstances, and they're trying to kill the person who knows all of the secrets.
Oh, 20 seconds.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's good.
Dina, are you ready? Can you beat 20 seconds?
Here we go.
Can I beat 20 seconds?
This is the fucking Olympics.
Yeah.
This is the fucking Olympics.
You're the Simone Biles of recaps.
Also, I swore like seven times in that process, so we are no longer PG.
I said fuck several times already.
I'm sorry, guys.
It's only when I say it, actually.
It's not your fault.
Because I am a man.
Oh, right. I get it. So when no one can hear what I'm saying right now.
Oh,
I could say anything and no one would hear it.
Okay. You ready?
Yep.
Go.
It's about five teenage girls who grow up basically with zero parenting and amazing wardrobes, and one of their friends is murdered, quote unquote, and they're trying to figure out who did it, and they're getting harassing text messages, and then that's how the mystery evolves.
Yes.
18.13 seconds.
I feel like we both nailed it.
That was also, what you guys were describing was just Gossip Girl.
Oh, but
yeah,
it's
but
like,
there's actual murders on this show.
Yeah,
there's a lot of.
Wasn't there murders in Gossip Girl? I never watched that either.
No, there. Oh, so this website.
There was no magical witches in either of these shows. So I was like,
no. I mean, it's a downer that those things don't happen. Although in a recent episode, there's like a seer.
Oh,
okay. Here's
who's
the
very
thing.
Cool.
This website I write for originally started because our editor in chief Jen, who is from Chicago.
Chi-town?
Yeah, from Chi-town. She was watching...
she was in the Chi-town
She was
Alliance.
Watching Gossip Girl and just thought, oh, I have all these funny things to say, and started a website and then, you know, recruited tons of us, a bunch of us from Nova Scotia, because we all happened to be reading, and she put out a call for it, and then we all moved away. So, anyway.
Is there any straight guy who works for...
There was one straight guy who used to write for the site, and he worked for a bunch of film studios because he lived in LA, and he hasn't, I haven't heard from him in like a long, because
the only
like
show
Facebook
he did
group.
Was Breaking Bad.
He also loved Pan Am.
Oh, okay.
Yes. He loved Gossip Girl. Like he loved all the, all the femme shows, but he was the only, and there's only, I was the only male for like a long time. And then this guy, and then a friend of mine, Richie, who actually lives in Vancouver. And like he pops in once in a while, but he's a lawyer and is quite busy all the time.
Man, imagine being a lawyer and doing that at the same time.
That's great. That's a good life balance.
You could actually afford stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's cool.
You can afford time to do this.
Yeah.
That sounds nice.
Okay, so then the other thing you do is your show at XY.
Yes.
And obviously a different writing method. Or is it?
Very,
I don't know.
Very different writing method.
Maybe it is just watching Pretty
but
Little Liars.
But it's also equally funny.
Yeah.
Like, the types of writing that you do are all kind of coming from this comedic, you know,
yeah, like a sardonic, like, nihilist, you know what, everything sucks, so let's just have fun sort of background.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if I can break your show down into bits, tiny little bits.
Bite-sized pieces.
Yeah. So you have like an intro monologue. You have an interview section. You have a guest, usually a guest sketch, a sketch that you've done with a guest. Do you go through and produce each section? Do you sit down and write that? Do you write that with a person? Or like what is the process for that?
I write most of it. I don't want to say I write most of it on my own because my writing partner, Jeff, who is our other friend in Victoria that we got shit-faced with.
No, I was trying to keep him like
no, I
protected.
Don't wanna, I don't
sorry,
wanna,
Jeff.
Overprotected.
It's fine. Yeah. He loves that song.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I write with... We talk all the time about like sketch ideas and things that we think are funny and what we could turn into sketches. The monologue I definitely do by myself, and I just keep a note in my iPhone of like things that annoy me or things that I find funny or whatever, and then I just talk about them. I've watched a lot of like documentaries about comedians, so I'm confident that a lot of the ones I respect don't write things word for word. They just write ideas and then talk a lot, because that's my strength.
Right.
Is just being able to talk all the time. But
that sounds interesting. I'm not familiar with that.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like weird. Yeah, both of you guys have
I am
no idea.
Very familiar with it.
No, that's Daniel, it's so interesting.
Yeah.
But the interview segments. Yeah. The whole like idea of the show is that I, when I was a kid, loved variety shows like The Carol Burnett Show. I love Johnny Carson. I love The Cher Show. And
these are all shows.
Yeah.
That are great.
They're amazing. And the Judy Garland Show. Like, I love the Judy Garland Show.
It's a lot of shows that would be unfamiliar to a 27-year-old.
Well...
Yeah, so hardly any 27-year-olds are familiar with
They would
this
have
stuff.
Absolutely no idea. Yeah, but I just thought it was so fun. And then my favorite part was always the interview segment, because you'd have these celebrities on, and it'd be... I don't know, it'd be somebody like... like, I don't want to say Dick Cavett because he was a host, or, you know, let's say you get somebody like Frank Sinatra on.
Right.
And you have a very preconceived notion of who Frank Sinatra is. And then he starts talking to somebody like Carol Burnett, and they're joking around and having fun and making all these innuendos that when I was a kid had no idea what they were, but were like, these guys are having so much fun. And I just wanted to bring something like that back because in this age where everybody's online sort of crafting their own personality, you don't really know who anybody is.
Yeah.
So if you see this one drag queen who's like always, you know, her makeup is impeccable and she looks fantastic and she looks like, I mean, you know, unapproachable. I get her on the couch and I have a couple questions with her and I show photos of her when her makeup was like 6 years ago and she looks like a total mess. And then yeah, she's more relatable and it's fun that way. So
you kind of give it a this is your drag life
experience,
which I like. And you sometimes you go back and sort of show like this is where you're from.
Yeah.
And this is what your hometown is like. And this is where you came from as a as a drag performer.
Mm-hmm.
It is 100% like I will be fully honest that it is my favorite part. It always makes me laugh the hardest.
I love
like,
it
always,
too.
Yeah. It's like
it's the most real raw part of the show.
Yeah. And I think that you're good as an interviewer in as Shanda in the sense that you know how to leverage, because there's so many drag queens have so much different energy.
Mm-hmm.
There's like hyper negative ones. There's like really soft spoken ones. And it's like you usually have a nice way to leverage that energy. You know not to go too hard if they're super mean because it's like it'll just be too exhausting.
Mm-hmm.
Or if they're really sweet and quiet, you have to like be a little bit meaner to bring them up. And I've enjoyed that one the most.
I agree. And it's great the way that you can have that banter going. And exactly like what Daniel said, like be able to kind of gauge what it's going to be like and how it's going to play to the audience. And how, because you'll have to react too. Like that part involves improv because you've got your prepared questions. But then, you know, she could come up with whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Out of her mouth. And you have to react and like keep going with that momentum.
Yeah. Like during the Pride episode, because when I'm going through all the photos, I write down questions and I sort of write like where I think the interview should go and like talking points for myself. But during the Pride episode, when I had Iona Whip, who I've known for years, and this was only the second show that we had ever done together, and we both are like big Broadway queens, like come from like a theater background. And I thought, oh, yeah, this will be like a really sassy interview. And I asked her about her drag mom, Jaylene Time, who is, I mean, like an angel who has fallen from heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And she got very sentimental and real. And it was like, it was a very real moment on the stage. And the whole room was quiet, which is very strange for a gay bar. And, you know, I for a second was like, oh, no, this is getting too real. But I mean, during Pride, it was also incredibly sweet because you're talking about chosen family and and being a queer identified person in a community that doesn't get you. It was amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. Pride always has that we always forget that because it's like there is so much partying associated with Pride. And then it's like, it always hits in a weird way. We're like, right. There's like, there's a reason that we're all here.
Yeah, in the strangest places, it'll get you.
Oh, guys.
Yeah.
And then the sketches.
Oh, yes.
So you have your writing partner, Jeff.
Yes.
Who Jeff also Leffert. Performs with you sometimes.
Yes, whenever he's able to be in town, we always have a sketch where, well, if we can't, if we don't have a place for him in the main sketch, we always do one just the two of us because we both love sketch comedy. So much.
And you play off each other so well. Like, it's super enjoyable to watch the two of you perform.
We have good chemistry.
I love it. You do. And there's always some interesting dynamic between the two of you, whether it's, I mean, for the most part, it's like antagonistic in some way, which is so entertaining because you can tell that you guys like have affection for each other, but you're like, it's almost like you're fighting it off while you're in this like weird.
Are you saying there's sexual tension between
me
and
all.
Jeff?
I mean, I mean,
as much as me and Dina have. Very intense.
Through the roof.
People can, you could cut it with like a really sharp knife that you would have to keep sharpening and sharpening.
Yeah, one of those like spinning blades with the water that they cut pavement when they're doing stuff in summertime.
That.
Yeah, one of those.
Yeah.
Yeah. Powered by gasoline. Yeah,
or like a chainsaw. Like something along those lines.
Yeah, something something simple and easy to manage.
Yeah.
Something that can murder a human is what I'm saying.
Yeah, that's the one.
That anyone could handle.
Yeah.
Okay, so then when's the next performance, you said?
It's always the first Saturday of the month, so I think that's September 3rd or 4th.
Oh, okay. So it's coming up pretty soon.
So quite soon. We've had this idea for one sketch that we want to do for the main guest this in September, and we've both been... So our writing process is that we both sort of work on our own and then throw ideas at each other and then, you know, cut and paste and things like that. My personal writing process for sketches is that I have the conversation in my head with the characters and then just like type it out as it's happening. And then I'll read it back after a couple minutes and say, oh, that's terrible, and delete half of it, which you saw in the car.
Yeah, it was very funny.
You were doing the edits
in
the car?
I was like, we're sitting in Daniel's car, like on the ferry, like on the way back to Vancouver. And I was just like typing away and just went, oh, that's awful. You leaned over like, that's an interesting writing process.
Wait, don't you do that?
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel
I said, what did you just say? And then you're like, I was talking to myself. And I'm like, but you just said like, oh, that's, I think it was, no, that's stupid.
Probably. Because
it made me laugh
like,
really hard when you were like, he literally had an idea, wrote it down, and then deleted it. And no, that's stupid. And closed his laptop. And I was like, okay. I usually give myself a day to find out if that's stupid.
No, no.
Wait, so you never, because a lot of times when I've talked about this before, but a lot of times when I'm editing, I will write to myself, and it's always in all caps, this is terrible. But I let it sit.
Yeah, you gotta
I'll be like,
let it
this
sit.
Is terrible. This is what you need to do with it. Yeah. But I have to direct it to myself so when I reopen the document, it like tells me something mean.
Give yourself a note that says, I hate
but
this.
But I like that you just immediately, but you're going through it so quickly in terms of.
I mean, it's obviously a different writing process.
Yeah. And you're also, you know, you're going to say it out loud and that it's going to be.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if it's like, it's not, because I can't say that it's like, oh, it's like a comedic writing process because you guys are hilarious. It's just my own way that I just know instinctively that it's going to be funny and play on stage to like a room full of people, or it's going to be terrible and fall flat and I'm just going to be in the back room trying not to cry and then coming out and being like, thanks for coming to my show.
Yeah, see, we only have to worry about the five people in the audience who might or might not laugh.
Yeah, you have a bigger crowd. I have another question. Mm. So, because you, like, do you have other writing projects that you consider, like, you know, in terms of kind of more...
I like that we had the same question. Right?
Is that what you're going to ask? Yeah, like more prose-based or even poetry or like nonfiction. What other stuff? I mean... I feel like you're the kind of person that's in a way similar to me and Daniel, where we are kind of like, yeah, we want to just do a bunch of different stuff, and we want to write different types of things.
Do tons of things, drink too much rosé.
Yeah, you're on board with that stuff, I
feel. Yeah, absolutely.
So what are you thinking about? Like when you think long-term or like a longer-term project that's not necessarily something that you write and then produce and then write and then produce, like something that might take a little more longevity?
Yeah, I'd love something to have some permanence. You know, I mean, because I like studied English and literature in college. I've got a degree, you know. I even took a focused year at St. Mary's in Halifax on romantic poetry.
Yes.
And
player hating.
And player hating.
Yeah, man.
And English drama after 1950.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. Joe Orton and Harold Pinter are two of my absolute favorites.
Yeah.
But yeah, I do a lot of, I call it secret writing.
That's fine. We call lots of stuff we do secret writing until we put it out there. So it's
cool. It's our burn book.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
it's
the
normal.
One.
It's normal.
Yeah. The most recent one, it's not super secret because it's on my non-drag Twitter profile as the link. And I don't really like the name a whole lot, but it's called 1 Hour Writer. Because
you're doing this new project. You should talk about that.
Yeah. Well, okay, so I stopped writing, like, anything for, like, quite a long time because I'm friends with a lot of fantastic writers, and there's a lot of anxiety that people put on themselves when they don't consider themselves a writer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, when I was surprised that you wanted me to be on the show, I was like, well, I'm not involved in Canadian literature or, like, anything at all. So I was like,
no one is. No one's involved in Canadian. But the guests that you've had on the show.
Most people are trying to evade. Yeah. But you are a writer and you're someone that, yeah, like I, I know that you've got all this stuff going on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, as somebody who's read a bunch of your writing, literal writing, from blog posts to even actually stories you've sent.
Yes.
Yeah, I was that, my especially because I've seen your sketches so often that I'm like, I know you write because you literally have to write those.
Yeah. Yeah, so the
You're writing more than a lot of people that call themselves writers.
Yeah.
So the 1 hour thing is that, like for me, like I described my process is that I'll write a whole bunch of stuff down, then I'll just delete it right away because I just don't feel that's going to play. But with this one, I figured I'm a fast writer. So if I have an idea, it just like, you know, flies out. If I give myself 1 hour and I have the rules that I won't edit it and that I won't be ashamed to make it public and that it doesn't matter what the subject matter is, as long as it's not like a hot take, you know, because there's too many essays out there and like things of people being like, oh, I disagree with this. Like,
yeah,
that's not fun. You know, if I wanted to do that, I'd have a journal.
Right.
But yeah, this is specifically for creative writing. So I put a timer on my phone. It's 1 hour. And if I don't finish what I'm doing at the 1 hour, then I just leave it unfinished. And then I put it on this little Tumblr that I have. And right now there's only two up there because...
What's the Tumblr?
It's called onehourwriter.tumblr.com.
Okay, it is 1 hour writer.
Yeah, 1 hour writer. Cool. So there's two up there right now. And I'm really hoping... well, I was going to do this weekend, but I actually have a drag show this weekend. So maybe next week I want to carve out some time to do another one because I have a bunch of ideas. And I feel like setting those parameters and having these rules to make it okay that if it's not your best work, it's still fine to put it out there because I'm still doing something.
Yeah, you know? I agree.
I don't want to have this anxiety about something that I enjoy because I really enjoy writing.
And also just to not call yourself a writer for this arbitrary reason when actually you're doing so much of it and... you know, do have an education base and you have all of this practice. It seems, yeah, it's absurd to not, to deny yourself that part of it.
Yeah. You know, people in their late 27s.
Yeah. Ugh. When you're in your late 27s.
Late 27s.
Holy shit.
You know, and you have to take.
The twilight of our 30s.
God. You have to take a job that, you know, I personally, my day job, my 9-to-5, I like. But, you know, some people aren't as lucky. And so it's maybe not as creative as they want. They get out of practice. It kind of wears them down a little bit. And then they get away. And then when they next try to go write something, they think, oh, God, this is terrible. Like, I couldn't possibly. And then they stop doing it. And who knows how many fantastic writers have been extinguished because of just the age that we live in, that we need another job to survive.
Yeah. Right. Well, I was going to ask you about that, actually. Like, you... do so much. You do a lot of times multiple drag shows in a week and you're doing your recaps, but also you do work a full-time steady job. So like what is that like? Because I mean, I'm very familiar with what it's like for me and lots of times I just want to jump in the ocean.
I don't know. I've been able to always like switch off if whatever's happened. There was definitely a couple of years where I worked in advertising, which whoever's listening, if you don't want to have a soul, work in advertising.
Although I've literally heard you get hit on because of your work in advertising, referring to yourself as the Peggy of.
Oh, yeah.
That's adorable.
That's true. Yeah.
Of course. Who wouldn't?
I mean, you forgot that pickup line, but you brought it back up again.
I mean, you know, there are some perks, obviously. Yeah, every job has its perks.
Yeah, for
right?
sure.
But I mean, like, casual sex compared to, I don't know, being able to sleep and not hating yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a lot of complex issues.
I know.
There.
I mean,
so do you find that then, like, creative work kind of gives you that little zhuzh?
Yeah.
To keep it going?
It's
like, and it's not overwhelming all of it. You're just able to.
Yeah. Well, because it's on my own time. But, you know, I'm not depending on the creative work to pay my bills.
Yeah.
Which is a huge luxury. There are definitely some periods where I don't do as much creative work as I want because I'm a professional and dedicated to this other job that I have. Mm-hmm. But thankfully, it has enough flexibility that when I leave at, you know, five-ish, I can completely shut that world off and, you know, for the rest of the evening, live whatever life it's going to be. And then wake up at 8 the next morning and I'm back in it. It took a lot of training, but I'm there now. So
that's good.
Yeah.
It's very useful.
Mm-hmm. It's a good balancing skill.
Good skills.
You're amazing.
Speaking of hyper-positivity.
Yeah.
It's about time to get into a fun segment we like to call
Dina's Rage Minute.
Yeah.
I've been waiting for this.
Okay.
Now, I've set up my timer. Mm-hmm. I'm going to take a sip of my wine.
Great. You're doing everything right. I took a sip too.
Dina, are you ready?
I think I am.
For Rage Minute.
Yep.
Okay. 3, 2, 1. Rage.
Gun culture. What the fuck? It's the thing that insults me the most, aside from the murdering, is that it's not actually culture. So quit fucking... It's garbage. I don't want to hear about it. People who think hating small dogs is cool, get over yourself. Summer superhero movies. Let's just take a fucking break from that shit. Expensive salads. Oh my God. It's so gross. Don't charge me the same price as someone who's buying like fucking, like meat for a, something that's just kale and berries. Do not. Those are not double digit meals. Cold summer weather. Baseball. It's boring and it made me so sad and lonely and horrible as a child. And now people think it's cool and it infuriates me. Like all my memories of being near a baseball diamond are depressing and awful.
Not baseball.
It's the worst.
Oh my God, I love baseball.
Well, you can talk about why you love it, but I can talk about why I hate it forever.
No, I fully get that. Like, I like going to baseball games. I like going to the Nat Bailey's for, like, the Canadians game, but purely because I like getting wasted and watching the sushi race.
Oh, yeah. I love That's baseball. I mean,
also, okay. Tight buns. Baseball players with tight buns.
Yeah.
Great.
I played baseball when I lived in the U.S. because Little League is a thing.
Of course.
But I just genuinely love baseball because it's, aside from football, the longest game in the world. And like nothing happens.
Exactly. So if you are someone that is forced to be there because your younger brother is playing and all you are doing is around like immature boys who are younger than you that are terrible and you have no friends and you have no one to talk to and you're trapped in some small American town because that's where you had to go for this fucking baseball game and all you want to do is cry because you have no escape. Yeah, it's a nightmare.
Okay, maybe that sounds...
That basically sounds like elementary school and high school.
Yeah.
I played sports when I was in both. My former life was a jock.
I played different sports. So did Daniel.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
I played volleyball. I played basketball.
Daniel and I have very parallel narratives.
Yeah.
Which we constantly come back to.
We were on the same soccer team for many years.
Oh, yeah, you guys were on soccer.
We were captains of the soccer team together.
In high school, I was in choir.
We were bad captains together.
I was in drama, and I played sports. Mm. I was like, fuck this. I don't need all your garbage.
I decided... in my drunken stupor of right now, that and also because of something Anthony said before we started recording, we're gonna have, because it's summer and because we're three balls deep and it's rosé and we're feeling fine.
I heard
fine.
Three balls deep.
We're three balls deep.
Yeah, and three balls
one
deep.
Each.
Three bottles and three balls.
Yeah. Yes. We're gonna do a new segment that we may never bring again.
Great.
Called Love Minute.
Ooh.
So to counter also Dina's rage, which is we respect.
Thank you.
And we love.
And it was so great.
We also want to hear some love. So we're going to do a full minute, all three of us, ranting at the same time, things they love.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, so we're going to, it's going to be like that waterfall game.
Are we going to rotate around?
Yeah, we'll start at Anthony, go to Dina, and me. Okay. And go. And you have to go as fast as possible because there's only 1 minute.
Okay. I'm ready. Yep.
Okay. 3, 2, 1, love.
Big old puppers.
The beach.
Oh, rosé wine.
Kissing boys.
Pickles.
Yelling at boys.
Kissing girls.
Yelling at anyone.
High-fiving people.
Baggy McBag.
my long, beautiful hair.
Yelling at dogs that they are so the best.
Margaritas at the boxcar.
Sundresses.
Telling moms that their babies are cute.
Trevor Risk.
Roxanne, the best friend a person could ask for.
You guys are going so fast. Like when you get those tan lines from tanning well, like from your hair, but your hair grows out, and so then you get a haircut, and she has that tan line that's up there.
Growing a beard.
When you think you have a tick in your head, but it's actually just a scab from a time that you bumped your head.
When you think that you have bug bites, but they're actually mosquito bites.
Mm-hmm. Dancing to Black Box, Strike It Up.
Just basic fucking black full coverage cotton underwear.
Dancing.
MDMA.
Lipstick. Oh my God, that was so fun.
That was good.
I love it. We should bring it back for sure. Tell us again where people can find you online and what your show coming up.
The first Saturday of September.
And every month?
Still don't know. The first Saturday of every month, but you won't see us in October because I'm taking some time off.
You're taking some time for yourself.
I'm taking some time for me. Yeah. Gotta live for me.
Good for you.
But it's always the first Saturday of every month at XY. And you can find me on Facebook. I'm not going to tell you Anthony's profile. You should just find Shanda.
Because Chandelier.
I'm her promoter. So facebook.com/...
Chandelier.
It's Chandelier.
S-H-A-N-D-A space L-E-E-R.
Yes.
Chandelier.
Nice. And it's Lear, like you're leering at somebody.
Like you're looking.
Not like
way.
King Lear, even though she's definitely a goneril. Mm-hmm. Like she's 100% goneril.
Girl is a goneril.
Yeah, girl goneril.
Yeah, girl goneril.
Goneril girl.
Goneril
Wait, is
girl.
Is that something that we can develop? Because I'm loving it already.
This might be a future sketch for
the
Shanda.
The answer to Chuck Tingle.
Yeah.
Oh, we haven't talked about Chuck Tingle enough, frankly.
Goneril girl. Don't find her under that.
No.
That'll be a different story.
That's a different thing.
Yeah. But facebook.com/itschandelier. On Twitter at It's Chandelier, same thing as Instagram, same thing as Snapchat, all over social media and YouTube.
On YouTube, is it also It's Chandelier?
She hasn't quite figured out the username for YouTube stuff, but...
it's Queer Comics, where your videos are?
Yes, you'll find videos on the Queer Comics channel. Also, she has her own channel where she'll be uploading... most of those videos, plus some like edits and bloopers from those.
Fun.
And new ones coming in September.
Excellent. I can't
wait.
Also, if you're in downtown Vancouver and you just yell out chandelier three times, she shows up.
It's true. You have to be holding a bottle of Fernet Branca for her to show up to do that. Also, if you show up to the Fox or the Cobalt on a Saturday night, like either or.
Definitely.
Real good shot. She's going to be there.
Yeah.
Show party favors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or oh, just ask, this Saturday.
Ask people if they're going to be turnt.
This Saturday, ask people where the polite turn up is, and it's going to be at the Fox Cabaret. This show is dated, so you won't even. It's not going
to
be
the
Saturday.
Fox Saturday, and that's fine.
Yeah.
Just
you know,
go to the
always,
Fox in Vancouver, Eddie.
Always go to the Fox on Saturday because Anthony or Shanda will be there.
Yeah.
And turned up on maybe the last item that she mentioned in the love section.
Great news.
So you can find us online at canlit.ca, on iTunes, on Stitcher, on Facebook, Twitter, wherever, all at canlit. But additionally, we will be having our first live episode September 22nd at Little Mound Shop. Tickets will be $5. And
this is a real bargain.
There's limited seatings. The $5 will go towards paying for our beautiful authors that are coming in, which are...
Anna Candice Schofield and Jen Sukfong Lee. We are very excited. They're both two of Vancouver's most fucking amazing women, and we could not be more excited.
Oh my God, this is great. Yeah. Oh, I didn't even get to shout out Sachiko for her amazing blog when I was talking about 1 Hour Writer, but that's what inspired me to do it.
Yes! Yeah. I'm so glad. We'll talk about Sachiko again. Sachiko Murakami is our dear friend and wonderful writer and person. And she has an amazing website that's called Writing So Hard,
which we've shout out now three times.
Yes.
But we cannot.
That's what made me want to do the 1 Hour Writer.
Yeah. It reminded me of that. I didn't even know that that was part of it. Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
So she's wonderful.
So that will be a part of Can't Lit Live, which will be a part of the literary pop-up shop, Little Mountain Lit Shop, September 19th to 25th.
That shop's going to be lit. That is correct.
It's going to be lit.
And we'll be collaborating with Sad Meg, Real Vancouver Writers Series, Poetry is Dead.
And literally every and single magazine
every
that we can find in Vancouver.
In Vancouver, yes. BC.
And I will be there so much because I know all of these magazines
gonna
intimately.
It's going to be really, really fun. So
great times.
We're going to have a little
maybe
festival.
Maybe I'll be there. Maybe I'll bring Shanda.
Please.
Maybe I will bring Shanda for some night.
I would love it.
Also, part of our $5 ticket fee will pay towards our fourth microphone. So maybe
yes,
Shanda can show up.
We're getting a fourth mic. And yeah, we can have a yes. little mini sesh.
Yeah.
So as always, thank you for listening. And we have one more question.
One last question.
All right.
Oh.
Anthony.
I'm ready.
Are you ready? Please tell us. What can't you with?
Oh.
I know, a million things.
Oh, I can't with people talking with their mouth full.
Oh, it is it's
I just
upsetting.
Can't eat what you're eating and enjoy it and then give me your thought. They don't need to be combined. What is wrong with you? Food and words do not belong together unless you're Jamie Oliver.
Oh, what about Gordon Ramsay? I know we're
also about. Gordon Ramsay because I like to be treated like a bag of shit.
I know you want to. You also, want the dirt bag. Right?
Jamie Oliver's his print like cutout that's at Safeway at the one nearby has like goof written on his forehead.
Oh, that makes sense.
And it's double sided, and they refuse to like flip it over. They just leave the goof side up.
And that's what we're gonna leave you with. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening.
Thank you. And bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.